This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As voice of Chiefs Kingdom, he's seen the lowest of lows and the highest of highs.
You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
Your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Mitch Holthus with CDOT on The Drive.
We are very happy right now to be joined in studio by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. And also by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I'm going to guess. I've never asked you this. Primetime games at Arrowhead, you've been doing it for 20 years. It still doesn't get old. Especially never. In the middle of everything that is going on in Kansas City. Like, yesterday was one of the probably 10 best sports days in Kansas City history when you think about the Royals and a Monday night football game. Obviously, there's been bigger days. AFC championship wins, Super Bowl wins. There's been bigger days in sports history, but yesterday was a really special day. Royals win, Chiefs win. Both teams played incredibly well. Optimism right now is at an all-time high, and you got to be in one of the two games.
And the weather was incredible. That crowd was unreal. Walking down that tunnel, I never get used to it. I'm never numb to it. It always feels like the first time. But when you walk down that tunnel, when I do pregame with the Field Pass show with Matt McMullen and then doing the radio stuff, but I go down the tunnel, and it's a feeling like you've never done it before. It's just so exciting for Sunday night or Monday night football. But last night, the crowd was great. It was, you know, it was a crucial catch game. We had a special guest there, Greg Sharp, who's the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Blue Valley High School graduate. He did K-State for a long time, and he's done the Huskers for like 20 years. But he's got pancreatic cancer, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And so we brought him and his wife and his 3 daughters in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the daughter's fiancés, but it was just all of that. It was this feeling of emotion, and people were excited about the Royals. The Chiefs offense had their best volume game in a while, and it was just a good night all the way around.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I would say that the theme of Monday Night Football to me, it was maybe twofold. Let's start with the offense and then we'll get to the defense. Kareem Hunt played 64 games in Cleveland. He ran for 100 yards one time. He has been on the Chiefs for 17 days. He's already run for 100 yards for the Kansas City Chiefs. Juju Smith-Schuster had 260 yards in New England and got cut by, I believe, the worst wide receiver group in the National Football League. He comes to the Kansas City Chiefs and he basically turned back into the Juju Smith-Schuster that helped this team win the Super Bowl. Yesterday, to me, was a testament to those guys. It was a testament to this front office and staff. It just feels a lot like New England during that time. You remember where New England would just find these guys and they could just make it work with anybody. That's what we saw the Chiefs do yesterday.
Those two guys, we talked about all the happiness last night. There are no two happier humans on the planet right now than Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster to be back with the Chiefs and in this environment. I talked to Kareem about it a week ago prior to this game, but then with Juju last night, and it felt like it was his birthday every day. He just talked about how unique the culture is, being in Andy Reid's offense, being surrounded by a group of guys that are very unique, humble but talented. There's all these underrated stories, but those two guys are thrilled to be back. I didn't think I would lose two bets in a row because I didn't think he'd have 27 carries last night, meaning Kareem Hunt. And then you throw in Samaje Perine. I think it's coming for him. He's going to bust out one of these weeks and have a big game. None of those three CDOT spent a minute in St. Joseph. That's what's crazy. Now, don't anybody get the feeling of like, well, hey, training camp doesn't matter. But in the case of these three guys, the fact that they weren't in St. Joseph at all, no preseason, and right now we're relying on them is a remarkable story. And yes, a testimony to Brett Veach, Andy Reid, but the rest of that locker room. Let me throw another one in there because this is a little bit off the line with that, but similar. We need to give some roses to the offensive line. They set the tone in that game. You know, the Saints came out and took the ball, and Dana and I were talking about this. They were kind of going to show some attitude like, hey, we didn't come in here to roll over in the loudest stadium on the planet. Like, we're going to take the ball against a defense that has not given up 28 points in 26 games. To me, it was just like a little bit of attitude showing. But the Chiefs psychologically had been, the one ink blot on the defense had been they'd given up three touchdowns and a field goal in four drives. They were near the bottom on first defensive possessions. The Saints were the best team in the league on first possessions. To get that interception, and then the offensive line came out with their hair on fire, psychologically just set the tone for the rest of the night. And then plug in Juju and Kareem and even Perine doing what he's doing.
What I loved most yesterday about the offense was I think that Andy and Nagy took the strengths of their offense and really highlighted them. You mentioned Kareem Hunt. He might be the freshest player in the National Football League. You gave him 27 touches yesterday, and he really got going. You talk about this team as they maybe spent more resources on tight end than any team in the National Football League with Travis Kelce. They just paid Noah Gray. You mentioned some of the other pieces that they have. Who do they highlight for the first 15 passing plays of the game? It was the tight ends. They use Juju in the role that I think he's best suited, a yards after catch. Mecole Hardman, hey, we're not going to have you run the ball or run routes downfield. Hey, we're going to give you the ball at the line of scrimmage, make a guy miss. He had four catches for 40 yards yesterday. I thought the offense yesterday really highlighted the individual skill set for their offensive players and put them in positions to have success. And I thought it was one of their more efficient days offensively they've had so far this season.
No question. It's a hallmark of Andy Reid's offense. We've seen it for 12 years now. It's a fantasy player's nightmare. It's a reality fan's heaven. I mean, it's a dream just because you have so many ways you can go and so many ways you can attack. Four tight ends eligible. They target Fortson right out of the way on an out pattern. And then, you know, to use the other guys, everybody that could have touched the ball with the exception, I think, Sky Moore and Justin Watson. I think that was it. Everybody else got involved in the action. One thing I really like what they did last night, I mentioned this to Dana on the broadcast, was when they ran those wide receiver screens, which don't seem to be working around the league at all. You'll see like one guy trying to block two, and then they tackle the guy, the wide receiver, for a three-yard loss. They had Mecole Hardman on the move on those. There were two blockers out in front of him, but he was motioning out that way instead of just standing there, backing up a yard, catching it, and trying to restart. He was in motion, and timed the snap where he's getting the ball and the flow of the play. I thought it was a great adjustment by Matt Nagy and Coach Reed in the fact that they ran those plays a little bit different with McColl because it was more in sync and moving toward the defense instead of just standing there and trying to restart.
Right now we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I know he threw an interception and didn't have a touchdown pass yesterday, but if you watch the game, that was as comfortable as I think we've seen Patrick over the course of the year. That felt like the guy who we all think is the best quarterback and the best player in the league. He made a couple of plays yesterday with his legs. If a guy wasn't open or creating more time with his legs, he just felt a lot more free yesterday to me.
And I think it's just taking some time. I mentioned to get used to these tackles, but also I think it's getting used to the fact he was so excited he was going to have Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, and Rashee Rice, and now he doesn't have any of those guys. And she's thinking, okay, how are we going to do this? So that it just doesn't happen instantly for him or anybody else. So I think getting into the flow and getting more comfortable with what the Chiefs have now on the field will only get better as time goes on, even though the next two games are on the road. I saw it last night. I saw the same thing. There was just a comfort level or a flow. I keep going back to flow. The offense had more rhythm and flow to it than it's had in a while.
Do you think the Chiefs have the better run defense or pass defense? Because I've got numbers on both sides that just their ability to take away the other team's best option. Doesn't matter if it's Derrick Henry. Doesn't matter if it's Chris Olave. Doesn't matter if it's J.K. Dobbins. Like, they have stopped some of the best players in the National Football League so far this season and made them virtually useless for the most part.
It starts with the runners. Think about what they've done to the runners in this league. They faced number two and number four in this league. But you look at they've faced Derrick Henry. You've got Bijan Robinson, 16 carries for 31 yards. Kamara has 11 carries for 26 yards. The guy came into the game the best all-purpose player in the league. First get back to have 3,000 yards rushing and 3,000 yards receiving. He has 66 total yards in that game. I mean, it's phenomenal what this defense is doing, and they're doing it at all three levels. I mentioned the strength is in their defensive rotation, that they can play so many different guys and not fall off a bit. Linebacker, there's not as many guys, but Nick Bolton's got his juice back. That play against Robinson in Atlanta, I think, just lit the fuse for him because he has not backed up at all. He's made explosive downhill plays, and he did it again last night. And then the DBs. Look what Jalen Watson is doing. Coach Reed talks about him tonight on the show in Coach's segment about he mentions Watson specifically. Now, McDuffie, we just get to use the fact that that guy's on the top three to four corners in the league. But when you get Watson playing the way he does and the way the safeties are playing, I mean, this is the best defense in the league, and we just don't even talk about it because we want to talk about offense all the time.
You mentioned a flow. The Saints, they never really got a flow going offensively. It's very similar to Atlanta that their offense kind of goes the way the running back goes. If you get Bijan Robinson going, it's hard to stop Atlanta with all their other options. Same way kind of with the Saints with Alvin Kamara. He's a guy that can run for 80 yards and then hit you for 70 yards through the air. He had less than 75 yards from scrimmage yesterday. The Saints never really got things going offensively. Their offense really boiled down to me. It was one deep pass to Shaheed over the middle of the field. Outside of that, they didn't really have too many other big or explosive plays.
And the quarterbacks the Chiefs have faced need the running game to get into that flow. Think of Kirk Cousins. He needs it more than most. Derek Carr needs it more than most. That's not a knock on those guys, but for them to get to a comfort level and them to feel like, let's get some balance here, some pop and sizz to the offense, they've got to have some semblance of the running game. Brock Purdy's the same way. It's that San Francisco offense, which is what New Orleans is running. But if you look at the quarterbacks the Chiefs have faced, Lamar Jackson's an exception. The Chiefs shut down Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson accounts for 400 yards. He's different. But some of these quarterbacks they have played right now until Herbert gets healthy, he's the same way. Like, if they don't have a running game, it's hard to get the passing game going for them to get into a rhythm and flow and balance and trying to keep you off balance.
You are right in the fact that the Chiefs probably have, I would say, the three biggest stars in the league are Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce for just all varying reasons. Just the three biggest move the needles, pop culture, three biggest stars. I look at this team right now. I mean, their two best and most consistent players might be on the defense, and Trent McDuffie, and you named, and Chris Jones. Just another game in which Chris Jones is just unblockable. And you mentioned how they've done against the run. I mean, Zay Flowers had less than 40 yards. Jamar Chase had less than 40 yards. Chris Olave, who's probably a top 25 receiver in the league, he had 10 yards yesterday and just couldn't get open yesterday. You mentioned it. I know the offense is going to take up a lot of the attention, and they should. This team's defense has just been incredible for basically the last 18 months.
One of the top teams in the league, Chiefs, as well, in not allowing 20-plus plays. There's been some exceptions. Remember the play Isaiah Likely in the game against the Ravens. Or last night, Rashid Shaheed. He's one of the more underrated dudes in this league. He's got so many big plays, and he busts the post in the middle. But for the most part, when you look at these five games, teams have been void of big plays. And so wide receivers will get 100-yard receiving games if they can pop a big play. Think about Juju last night in his 50-yarder on his way to 130 yards. But if you're not allowing that receiver to get the big-time play, it's hard for them to get going. Now we're talking about a quarterback trying to get going. A receiver cannot get going, and the runners aren't getting going. The Chiefs have just smothered all of that. And it's, again, I don't think getting enough appreciation. We do, but I don't think outside in the rest of the NFL world, they appreciate this Chiefs defense.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. What are you noticing with the Chiefs in the red zone?
You have to attack. The red zone has to attack it pylon to pylon. Again, it's arena football. It's at the 20, you have a 30-yard field goal, But you must attack it from a horizontal standpoint. I got to put pressure on a defense from sea to shining sea. The other thing is, and I thought that this would be more of a factor to this point, I think this is where you hope that Jared Wiley can get going some, or maybe Jody Fortson. There is no restriction on airspace in the red zone, meaning that's why you throw fades. You throw a corner to the back pylon. You try to get plays where you get it up in the air and let your guy go and get it. It's why Mike Evans is a beast in the red zone. And so you look at the great red zone receivers down through the past, the go up and get it guys. And so I think as the Chiefs go on, they will look at maybe more ways to attack it all the way across 53 and a half yards of the field. But where do you get the elevation play? Is that Wiley? Is that Kelsey? Is that Fortson? Somebody, because that is a key as you go on in the red zone.
I know this is going to go unnoticed, and I know I can ask you this because you notice all of those things. One thing that really impressed me a lot yesterday with Travis Kelce is, you know, I've had my questions about him long-term holding up and all those things, is he's still willing to do a lot of the dirty work. A lot of those runs to the outside, they were really fueled by him and Noah Gray and blocking, and him not just, hey, I'm out there to look like I'm blocking. I mean, no, I'm putting guys on the ground. I'm trying to create space. For a guy who has had all the success that he's had on the field and off the field and played as much football as he had, the fact that he's still willing to get his hands dirty, so to speak, and still kind of get there in the middle of it, I think that kind of energy just feeds to the rest of the team. And how you were able to fuel a guy like Kareem Hunt running yesterday was they had great down the field blocking from their tight ends.
I love what they're doing with three tight end sets. And now you got four tight ends with Fortson. But if you have three tight end sets and one of the three cannot block, it's a waste of time. So Noah Gray's improved. Wiley's got to get better. But Kelsey's been outstanding. I would tell you, and based on what I've, when I review the video, his best 2 years of blocking have been the last 2 years. And the fact that he doesn't get a hall pass in this offense by being, oh, you're the best tight end to ever play. Don't worry about wham blocking or worry about Trump blocking on the perimeter. He has to have some he has to get in the wash many times. You can run a power set on offense, pull the guard inside, right, the power O inside play. But many times he has to block down Kelsey, or he's got to get the seal block on the outside to get Kareem Hunt going. He's been outstanding at it. And I'm glad you brought it up because it's way overlooked. But I love what they're doing. You can throw out of the three tight end sets because they have skilled tight ends. But if you don't have every one of those guys blocking, it doesn't do any good to have 50 tight ends. Everybody's got to do their job.
I want to ask you to kind of reflect just a little bit. And I know you would never do this during the season, but you know what? We're coming up on the bye week. And maybe, you know, next time I talk to you, have this answer. When you think about sports the way we are right now, this is maybe the most parity we have just seen across the board. You think of college football right now. Like, finding the 12 teams for the playoff is going to be really, really difficult.
Way to go, Vanderbilt. I love it. I love it that Vanderbilt beat them.
Because everything just seems so jumbled up. Right now in baseball, all four series are tied at 1-1 as we head into game three. You think about the NFL right now. There are 21 teams in the NFL that are either 2-3 or 3-2. Everybody just feels so jumbled up. How have the Chiefs been able to create this level of separation where it is not even arguable who the best team is in the league? They are not perfect by any means, but you're not taking Minnesota over this team. You're not taking the Commanders or some of the teams who are off to really, really strong starts. How have the Chiefs been able to stay so far of everybody else in the league when the league is not designed for one team to run away from the pack?
An incredible infrastructure. The rest of the league, instead of complaining about the Chiefs or nitpicking at the Chiefs, ought to emulate the Chiefs. You know the team that's trying to do it the best, in my opinion? The Detroit Lions. Brad Holmes is in lockstep with Coach Campbell. They've transformed the way the Lions have done business, much like that the way Andy Reid and starting with John Dorsey, but now Brett Veach, have transformed this whole franchise. There is such a strong infrastructure. When you look at Brett Veach and the comprehensive, not only the talent, but the work ethic of his staff, the way they handle the cap, the way that they work and find guys. You alluded to it with Juju and Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine assimilating into the system so quickly. That part of that is Brett Veach and his staff. A lot of it is the coaching staff of Andy Reid. No team. In fact, it's hard to look at all of professional sports. Who has a better infrastructure when you look at a personnel department, a coaching staff, and Hall of Fame folks than the Kansas City Chiefs right now? Who in the NBA would have it? Me? I don't know. Who would it be? Infrastructure-wise.
I mean, maybe you would argue the Celtics. Maybe you would argue the Nuggets. But those teams have also just done it for a shorter period of time, and they just haven't had the high-end success the way the Chiefs have. The Chiefs have been the undeniable best team in the NFL for now almost 7 years,
It's impossible to do. Yeah,
which has just happened maybe like three times in league history this has happened.
And the times that this happened before, you didn't have a 17-game season, and you didn't have a fifth game against a number one team from the other conference. You didn't have any of that. That just made it so much harder, and the Chiefs are doing it so much better when it's so much harder. But it goes back to an incredible, unshakable infrastructure that's there that has enough wiggle room that it deals with flashpoints like the Chiefs are now. We're living something really incredible right now. Who in baseball has the infrastructure that the Chiefs would have at this point? Who in hockey's got it? I mean, it's just... you ask the question, and to me, it's undeniably the Chiefs in how solid they are at every point of the star.
It seems to me, and just following other teams, like you look at the problems that the Raiders are having, you look at the issues right now with the Jets, that the Chiefs have figured out the three hardest things to do.
How did Robert Sala get fired?
You want my answer?
Well, I know. I think I know.
Yeah, okay, all right. I know if you really wanted me to answer.
I don't want that answer because I think he's a really good coach. But are they doing anything that's going to building an infrastructure so that the Jets can challenge the Bills in that division? You see that? I'm floored by that decision.
Yeah, to me, when I look at the Chiefs and I like look at the Chiefs have been able to do the three hardest things. They have everybody appearing to push in the same direction. They have created a culture. They have got everyone to buy into that culture. And they have bought into it for the last 7 years. And if at any moment they don't think you have bought into the culture, you will not be on the team anymore.
And they have rings and confetti in their hair. So what are we missing here? If you're an NFL team, you're an NFL owner, you're an NFL general manager, find the coach that you've got to yield some. I'm in some kind of power struggle.
That also goes to your Lions.
Or the quarterback.
The Lions have been able to do that too. Yeah.
The quarterback. The Lions are doing it right now. That's impressive because they've changed 50 years of culture by doing it or more. And the Chiefs did the same thing with Andy Reid. But I guess we're going to throw the quarterback in on this deal now. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Is it a quarterback situation with the Jets? I don't know. But Patrick Mahomes is part of this infrastructure because he thinks as like-minded as Andy Reid and Brett Veach every day in the way they do business. He's not chasing stats. He's like, if we're going to win 3-0, we'll figure it out. If I throw for 331, that's okay. But Patrick Mahomes thinks like a GM. He thinks like a coach. Andy Reid thinks like a quarterback or thinks like a player. And the rest of the league is just kind of spinning around and trying to figure it out.
Well, I mean, Mitch, I'll say this. Maybe you can't say it. I think we both know Patrick enough to know. You know what I know Pat would never do while football practice is going on? Take a vacation.
He ain't going to Egypt.
Never.
During mandatory minicamp.
Never.
Dude, he has his own camps. Like, if you're going to wear the red, you're like, hey, what are we doing on March the 10th? No, you're going to Dallas.
He has extra football practice for everybody.
Yeah. No. And you're all going, and you're all going to like it. And you're going to go to TAs, and you're going to love mandatory minicamp, even though it's June. And you ain't going on vacation. You're going to go on vacation when training camp, before training. And by the way, when you go to St. Joseph, polish your shoes and snap your chin strap, because it's going to be every day of work. But we're going to have fun while we're doing it. That's why this buy is huge. People have asked me. It's my minute with Mitch this week. And I'm going to tape it tomorrow at 41. People go, it's too early, man. It's too early. Week 5. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not for a team that's played 46 games in 2 1/4 years. Nobody's been busier than the Chiefs. And it's not just during these runs. It's during the offseason. Because Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce work so hard during the offseason. The throttle has been stuck wide open since, I don't know, Super Bowl 54. It just feels that way, and it's great. But it's like we're all just running this big, running the marathon or the Tour de France. So when you get a break, take a couple days off. This is huge for this team to do it, because they're going to get right back on the track like a pit stop in a NASCAR race and rev it up again. But that's what these guys are doing. And again, but I'm glad that we got to the quarterback, because in all that infrastructure talk I just gave you, I shouldn't have left him out, because a quarterback can throw all that off. A wide receiver trying to be the highest paid cat and going to be, I'm just holding out of everything, can throw all that off. In talking with folks in the Cincinnati organization, it has been no fun for them in this offseason and training camp. You can throw it off. The Chiefs have not had that, or very little of that, in the time that Andy Reid's been the head coach here.
That is Mitch Holtz, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show. He is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, and also by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, enjoy your bye week. I look forward to catching up with you in a couple weeks.
I shall enjoy this bye week. It is going to be enjoyed at a high level. Let's just put it that way. I'm disappearing and escaping, so don't try to find me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.